And then in the third round, we pick a 25-year-old rookie who started at Southern Cal, transferred to Tennessee, and in his career, I believe he's caught 62 passes for 807 yards. And guess what? The thing about him that they like, he could be a great special teams player. I ain't making this up, folks. When you know it, and everybody knows it, that there's a problem with the offense. And what verifies that, Eberflus and his offensive coaches, what was the first move they made? They took, he became the head coach, he gets his staff. You know what they did? They took this kid, Mumsford.
Sam Mustipher.
And what did they do? The first move they made, they took him from center and moved him over to right guard. You know where his next move is? Lakeshore Drive.
John Beckertiger, WGN.
WGN. Good evening. 8 minutes after 7 o'clock. John Landecker, thank you for tuning in. Got a little OB, got a little Hampton. Now we got a little Mark Carmen. Hey, Mark. Not that you're little, but you know what I mean.
No, it's okay, John. Yeah. I know I bat third on that totem pole. It's totally fine.
That's fine. That's fine. You know, people like us. Have you heard that? No, I mean
that's a good thing.
No, no, I know it is because the last time you were on, I got this text. You know, you and Mark, you got a great. You've got great chemistry. You guys should talk about anything. Doesn't have to be sports. You could. I think the quote was, shoot the breeze, which I haven't heard in a while. By the way, in case you don't know, Mark has hosted radio in Kansas City, nationally for Yahoo and Chicago. Listen to this bio. Spending his formative years watching Michael Jordan and now dreams of taking the court versus John McEnroe and attacking his backhand. He has The Windy City, a Chicago Bears podcast, starring Mark Carmen and Patrick Schmidt. The Windy City Podcast is the official Chicago Bears podcast from Fansided. Join Mark and Patrick as they discuss the latest Bears news and rumors. And let's get to those 1,000 subscribers. What do you say? What do you say? Yay.
Oh, a check is in the mail, John. Thank you.
Not a problem. Not a problem. You know, I tuned in. I was looking forward to Saturday afternoon, and it did not disappoint, I have to say. It was like no time had elapsed. Football season ended, and OB was yelling. The draft show opened, and OB was yelling. You know, it was perfect bookends.
Yeah, it's funny that you say it like that because, you know, I was in my little production / preparation room.
Yeah.
We all do our preps in different places at WGN Radio. There's a lot of options. And so I try to hide from them before the show because, you know, you get in a conversation, you don't get to prep.
Right.
Yada, yada. And so I just hear OB screaming down the hall 10 minutes before the show about, like, where is everyone? And what, you know, it was like, I'm like, all right, it's going to be a good show. We're ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was, of course, about the Bears draft. And we played a clip from that. Where's his next stop going to be? Lakeshore Drive. Pretty funny stuff there from OB. So by the time the show ended on Saturday, did I notice sort of a change in attitude, a shifting, if you will, from the, these guys don't know what they're doing. They're drafting kids who, well, not kids actually, not in the football sense at any rate, who have, potential as special teams players and, more importantly, are not offensive linemen. And as time went on, did I catch a shift in attitude, or was that just me?
You caught it right. As we started the show, you know, the Bears had not selected any offensive linemen. And OB was very, very focused that the Bears need offensive linemen. And I did my best to, explain to Ed that I promise you they're going to draft some offensive linemen. They just didn't think there was value early in the draft or for them, because nine of them, went in the first round. So I think OB was a little, he had the tunnel vision of what they needed, which right. I appreciate, which I think all Bears fans appreciate.
Right.
And he was getting impatient. And then they went out in the middle of the show, basically, and drafted four offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So, Braxton Jones was the first in the fifth round, and then they found a Zachary Thomas, and they went to Illinois to get a center by the name of Doug Kramer, and then out to Southern University for Ja'Tyree Carter. So can one of these guys be good? Then it'd be a really good draft for Ryan Poles. But, yes, the tenor did change once the names started coming in. And I was also showing OB film during the commercial breaks.
Cool.
And he was liking the feet. He was big on the feet. You want fast feet on your offensive lineman. So, he liked what he saw.
Yeah. I've heard him remark about that. They got to have fast feet. They got to have those fast feet so they can protect that quarterback so he doesn't get, injured and have a repeat of what happened last year. So we'll have to just wait. And as we always say when we're talking about the Bears, we're just going to have to wait and see. But if I surmise correctly, the coach played it as well as he could have played it under those circumstances, because they didn't have anything going in the first round anyway. And by the time it came to them, there weren't going to be any premier offensive linemen. But he did sort of like wheel and deal, which is part of the whole draft scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, they had three picks going into the last day, and they ended up with eight.
Right, exactly.
So, they ended up with three picks in the seventh round, three more picks in the sixth round, and two in the fifth. So, and they had been willing to trade down earlier, but there were a bunch of trades right in front of them in the second round, and then they liked the player. Kyler Gordon was there. And listen, John, I'm not, here to carry water for the Bears and say they do everything right. Clearly, that's not what we've been doing on the show for 7 years. But I do think you got to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. And at least the way I look at drafts in any sport, you pick the best player that's available. If you draft for position, you end up making gargantuan mistakes. The biggest one that I would reference is the NBA, when Portland just had to have a center, and they were drafting number two. So they took a guy by the name of Sam Bowie. And then the greatest thing that ever happened to Chicago sports, Michael Jordan, because he wasn't a center, slipped to number three.
Wow.
So they already had Clyde Drexler. And Bobby Knight at the time was saying, like, then play Jordan at center,
just get him.
The Bears have so many needs too. It's not like they were drafting a position that was super strong. They had one good cornerback. Now they have two. You could use three or four. So it wasn't, the whole concept like that they didn't need the things that they were drafting was ridiculous, because they do need a cornerback, and they do need the safety, and they and yes, they got to get wide receivers to help Justin Fields. But there were, at that point, there were eight wide receivers that had already been drafted, and less corners had gone off the board, so they saw more value. So just the way that he was going about it, I'm like, this makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I support the way Ryan Poles is thinking about things.
We're going to take a break and do more with Mark Carmen when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. 720. Wait a minute. Hold on. 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59. It is now 720 on 720 WGN. Holy. I don't know what that means other than... is it the end of time? Is it the end of days?
No, you got to make a wish now.
I do?
Yeah. Close your eyes.
Little things, John.
I was looking out the window. I think maybe it is the end of time. By the way, Mark, 847, once again, glad to hear us on the air again. whenever I get to hear the John and Mark show, see? That's what they're after. You never know. You just never know. So let's get back to these Bears and this draft. The thing that always strikes me is how we look at our society, how we look at age, okay? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm old, right? I mean, I'm old. Under any barometer, I'm ancient. However, with the Bears, the headline was, could older draft class prove to be deeper too? And when they talk about old, they're talking about somebody who's like 24 or 25 or even safety, I guess it's Brisker, 23, who spent 2 years in community college before playing 3 seasons at Penn State. Is this an actual element, whether or not somebody's 21 or 25 in the NFL?
Well, they're talking about Bayless Jones, who's the third round pick, and he spent 6 years in college because you had the COVID year.
Right.
And he also transferred from USC to Tennessee. And first of all, John, and I don't know your college background, but right here, I support anybody on the 6, 7, 8, 9 year college plan. If you can somehow make that work for yourself financially, congratulations. Spend as much time in college as possible. Delay the real world. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
Right. And so Velus is a guy that finally got an opportunity to be a receiver this year, put up great numbers, and he wouldn't have gotten drafted had he not got that opportunity this year with Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing wrong in life with late bloomers, and football careers don't last forever. So, you know, whether you get them, in my mind at least, 22 to 29 or 25 to 32, I mean, if the Bears get 5 good years out of Velus Jones, 3 good years out of Velus Jones, that's a win, you know?
Right.
Most rookies are looked at, do they make it to a second contract? So in 4 years, do the Bears want to pay Velus Jones and, you know, into his early 30s? Well, if he's, as they say in the with the kids nowadays, maybe ask Ashley, if he's hella productive, then yeah. They will. But let's not worry about that right now.
No.
And
you make a great point that, you know, these players also had to deal with quite a few months of COVID in one way or another in their playing days when they were in school. So there is going to be this, let's call it a 2-year adjustment period that normally a college player might not have to deal with. They would go straight through for however many years they planned on attending college, and they'd play ball every season. But that's not necessarily what happened over the past couple of years. So you got to take the opportunity when it arrives.
Right. You can play or you don't have to play, and your eligibility is still intact.
Right.
The NCAA got that right.
Right.
And Velus took advantage of it. And it was interesting in his press conference, hey, Velus, what was it like hanging out with these 21-year-olds when you're 25? And I'm like,
what?
What is he, 78? What do you mean, what's it like? He's in college. He's having a great time. That's what it's like.
Wow. You're 25. What's it like hanging out with 21-year-olds? I don't know. I plan on marrying one of them. I mean, you know, seriously.
John, it's sweet. I'm in college. I'm on the football team. Everyone wants to talk to me.
No
I
kidding.
Love it. That's how it is.
That's exactly right. So after all is said and done, and you're here because you know the Bears, and that's your beat, what could happen between now and the beginning of training camp? What moves could possibly occur or not?
Well, there's a lot of wide receivers that are out there, John, that they all come with their different set of problems,
mm-hmm.
Veterans. But the Bears could decide to be involved in somebody like Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
These are all pie-in-the-sky names, and I don't think this is going to happen. But, you know, he's coming off a torn ACL. Could the Bears get involved there? I doubt it, but that's a name. Jarvis Landry is a name of a guy who's been very productive. So they could go that route. What's more likely is that you'll have, you know, roster cutdowns come training camp, and the Bears roster is a little thinner than the rest of the NFL's. So there might be pieces that will make sense here. and they'll continue to add on. Teams will have overflow, and they'll scan their practice squads, and if you can put them on your active roster, they can get them. So they'll just keep adding depth. And the bottom line, they're looking at this as a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to win the Super Bowl next year. They're trying to take positive steps and build a culture. Mm-hmm. So, if Justin Fields does a good next year, no matter how many games the Bears win, it'll be considered a good year. If he doesn't, then, maybe if you can actually make the argument that, okay, we did not support him well enough. We invested more in the defense and offensive line, but we got to get him some playmakers. He's shown signs. Then that's fine too. If you decide, if the Bears stink and, they won six games last year, if they win three games and Fields is bad, well then you're going to have a high draft pick. And if Fields is really bad, that and doesn't fit with what these new Bears are trying to do, you could be, I wouldn't bet on this, but you could be in the situation where you're looking for a quarterback in the draft again with another high pick.
Wow. When does training camp start, by the way?
So they have rookie camp is coming up this weekend, May 6th to the 8th, so Friday to Sunday. And then their regular training camp doesn't get going until July.
Wow.
So there's some OTAs and whatnot, but real training camp gets going come July.
Well, I'm hoping for the best, and I always love talking to you about the Bears, Mark, and I'm running out of time, and I wanted to do a whole thing about the USFL. I mean, I've got a promotion piece here. They're going to have fireworks on Friday and Saturday. So,
and John, last time I was on, we talked USFL, to my surprise.
Yes.
But you might have been on the cutting edge there, because I saw that their TV ratings this past week were up from the prior.
Yes.
So that's a positive trend for the USFL. So perhaps.
Who knows?
With a little bit of Landecker help, it's catching on.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to make me commissioner. Thanks, Mark. Always love talking to you. Always.
I got you, brother.
Thanks. Mark Carmen. Love that guy. That was a great show on Saturday. As he's saying, if the Bears are bad, what's going through my head is, I can't wait to hear OB. I can't wait to hear OB. I'm not even worried about whether or not they're winning or losing or anybody's injured. I can't. If they're bad, I can't wait for OB to get on the air. That's the upside of a downside, he said. John Landecker at 720 WGN. Today, by the way, is National Teacher Appreciation Day. And we're going to delve into that on a television level, at least to begin with Wally Pronizek, who is the adjunct lecturer of communications for the University of Illinois at Chicago and author of Watching TV. God, why didn't I think of that? No, Mom, I'm writing a book. And we'll be talking about memorable TV teachers and ones that are still with us and ones that are in reruns, so to speak, somewhere. But right now, it's the bottom of the hour and time to get into the WGN newsroom.